Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and these are our 2020 season previews. So we've done the Gold Coast. We're going from reverse order. So next up is the good old Melbourne Demons. And suffice to say, 17th with just 5 wins. Not really what they thought was on the cards after a top four finish the year before.
Yeah, I was super bullish about them too. Like, I thought...
A lot of people were.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much everyone.
Their midfield's pretty damn good. They improved their list quite a bit running into 2019.
It was their year.
And it's a question of what the fuck happened.
It is. It, absolutely. And, you know, nobody, I think, predicted them to finish that low.
I thought they bolstered their team in the off-season as well. So it looks like they did the Frio from a couple of years back where they just wanted to tweak their team,
yeah,
as Ross Lyon said, and completely fucked it.
Stephen May was, you know, their big in last season's off-season, and didn't hit the ground running, that's for sure. And I think it's a bit of a worry if, especially for Gold Coast, where he's left Gold Coast, and wow, the professionalism of Melbourne is what shocked him.
Yep. And it seems like, I don't know, that maybe you might have to draw the conclusion that they've got a good team on paper, but from 5 years ago.
Maybe. Yep. Something definitely didn't go right.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of it as the midfield was still getting the ball, but the delivery and the connection with the forwards just was terrible.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell from the TV if that's the forwards' fault or the midfield's fault, and the answer is probably, you know, a bit of both. But what are the highs for the year for Melbourne, really?
Max Gorn.
That's about it, isn't it? That's all I had.
Brilliant season.
I had Maxi Gorn and a question mark. And he's strung together, you know, probably three or four really strong seasons in a row.
Yeah, they got some good crowds at the start of the season.
Didn't last long, that one.
Yeah, no. It was good banter from the Melbourne supporters, I think. They really got involved in the...
was it?
...memeing.
Yeah.
And I thought, on Gorn, I thought he was the class ruckman of the year. I think Grundy was a close second. And you could make an argument for either, really. But, he played fucking well.
Yeah, he rucked really well. I thought Grundy was better on the year, but either one you put ahead, you're not wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Grundy's probably better around the ground. Gorn's probably better in the middle circle. But, I mean, you set a team around either bloke.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's really it for the highs. I mean, their wins weren't nothing to write home about either.
Even the rookies didn't step up as much as you would have hoped for.
No, but they're still waiting on a few.
Well, you'd say their high is probably beating Hawthorn, maybe?
Yeah.
You reckon?
But even that game, though, there was the one Clarkson came out and went, there was nothing good about this one. It was a shithouse game.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any real notable win of the season? I mean, their wins came... Sydney early on, you know, wasn't bad. Sydney took a bit to get started this year.
I think Hawthorn was the only team outside the bottom four that they got a win against.
Yeah, I mean, they beat... Sydney got smashed by St Kilda, which was fucking terrible. Yeah. Only beat the Suns by a point, which...
Yeah.
I mean, look, Suns had a decent game. Melbourne were off it.
Yeah, early on in the year, too. So what are their lows, really, besides what we've already spoken about?
Only beating Suns by a point. I mean, that's got to be one of them. Their lows were... I mean, look, they did have a couple of injuries, but nothing that justifies this.
No. Yeah, I thought the biggest low was that from a coaching perspective, you can see that the team's not playing right and they didn't have any sort of contingency plan or
what's next.
They didn't start messing around with the team and say, all right, so the season's done. Let's just figure out what we've actually got. Let's start playing some other players that we wouldn't usually get a spot. But they didn't really seem to try and tinker too much with anything, really, even when the season's already done.
Well, I don't know. I kind of felt like they didn't stick with a game plan either. Like, if you know what I mean?
Like I said, it looked disjointed. And yeah. It's hard, like you said at the top, it's hard to tell from the TV where the fault lies. And also, is it because the message isn't getting through to the players, or the players are too dumb to follow it?
But you know how it is, like, in the past few seasons, there's been a big emphasis on playing behind the ball, handballs around to get an open man running, or having sprinters come off the half-back flank, that kind of thing. Melbourne didn't seem to do either, and yet it seemed like they were trying to at some stages. But they just had the wrong players in the wrong roles.
Or maybe they've got too many inside mids, and they need more outside. Yeah. But like I said, they got plenty of the ball. The delivery was terrible, you know.
Yeah, and just like it seemed they just didn't link up well when they're sort of trying to clear their back line. I remember lots of games where you just don't see intuition in sort of being proactive about what the player with the ball is going to do.
Yeah.
And I think that generally comes with experience. But this team's been together for a while now where I don't feel like that's good enough reason for them not to be able to perform the basics.
And, you know, coming off a prelim final the year before to not even look dangerous.
Yeah, and like I said, I think their 2019 list is better than their 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
For a start, they had Jake Lever back.
Yep. May was back in.
May was back in, yeah. And they should have been able to threaten a shit ton. I think part of it can be getting new players in of calibre. It takes a while for them to predict where their teammate's going
to
be.
Get used to the new teammates,
It shouldn't take 30-odd weeks.
Yeah, and especially not for someone like Stephen May either. And he had fitness and injury issues, but he's a lockdown defender. You know, he's not a link-up player, so he just needs to worry about his one man.
And he should be used to having shit teammates.
Yeah. Having said all that, though, I did check, you know, out of their 17 losses or whatever it was, only once did they lose by 10 goals.
Right.
Which, you know, I guess is a positive from Melbourne four or five years ago. I
suppose so, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, a shit in a brioche bun.
Yeah. Yeah, they only got flogged once, really. But anyway, that's the horrible season for them over and done with, and I think people are going to be a little bit less optimistic about them going forward now. So, list changes for 2020. We'll concentrate on their outs first. Jordan Lewis is retired a couple of years before his hair did. That's what I'm done there. You've got to say, they did all right. I think they got 3 years out of him.
Yeah.
For rags, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were paying peanuts. And he's really, you wanted him for his off-field stuff anyway.
Yeah, he did put in 100% when he was on the field. Yeah. Sometimes that 100% it's a bit shit, but...
Did he get suspended at Melbourne?
I don't think he did. No. I don't remember it.
So, fuck it, he wasn't trying then.
No, mustn't be.
Slack fuck.
The other ones, Maynard, Garlett, Kennedy Harris, and Billy Stretch. I put Billy Stretch in there just because I reckon that's a... awesome name.
Great name, yeah.
But, I mean, they're all players that are sort of in and out, in and out.
Yeah, the ones that they gave enough chances to anyway.
Exactly.
They're just not going to perform, and obviously the whole team didn't perform, but, yeah, that was pretty easy to move people along and free up some room.
A bunch of other rookies and stuff, and the other one they traded out was Frost.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to talk about.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I like Frost. I have no real... rock-solid reason why, except for the fact that as a backman, he was very mobile, and a lot of backmen make terrible decisions. He makes fewer than a lot.
That was the one thing. Now, the coaching staff lost faith in him. He spent some time in the VFL, but you know, there was a lot of big media that said he's their best defender this year.
Yeah.
And I thought, the same as you, he's big. He's really tall. He's deceptively tall, and he's got long levers. He gets the ball a lot, and the knock on him was his disposal. And I do like, you know, traded out to Hawthorn. And Hawthorn went, we don't give a shit about his disposal. We want his defending.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
For him. You know, maybe he put quince paste on his Dauphinoise or something rather than the pear paste. Who knows?
Had white wine with steak.
Yeah. To be fair, that would probably get him out of the Melbourne team.
I'm surprised. It wouldn't be something like that because I don't think Jeff would allow him in. If that were the case.
Yes, he had corn-fed steak instead of grass-fed.
Having said that, I think they've done really well with their list additions this year as well. Adam Tomlinson, for starters.
I rate that lad. Yeah. I mean, everyone rates him. He's a fucking superstar.
Played in the grand final. I mean, didn't have a good one, but he had a good final series besides that.
Shit-ass one, but, you know.
He's not Robinson Crusoe there.
Exactly right. And Ed Langdon over from Frio, who's...
I like him a lot.
Yeah, and he's a carbon copy of his brother.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a really great, what is it, Queen's Birthday weekend with Melbourne v Collingwood, and the Langdon brothers against each other.
I mean, this is one where you've given the coach a top list.
Yep.
And you've already had the shit season. You can say, all right, put that behind you. Let's just try and make it work now and see how we go. But if they don't hit the ground running,
yeah,
geez, things could get high pressure.
And having said how much we like Frost, considering those outs and those ins, I'd say that this, again, is a better list on paper than the previous year.
Yeah, I think it's a bit concerning with the lack of rookies that are going to get a go, though. Seems stacked with offcuts from other teams.
A little bit.
You don't see where their future's actually going to come from, especially since they delisted a lot of rookies, got rid of, obviously, Frost. It seems that there's not really a solid... I mean, either rebuilding or you're trying to top up your already winning, successful team. But I feel like they're topping up a losing team.
They did trade for two top 10 picks as well.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit odd for me. But, I guess you'll look to the future and hope you can retain the people.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and they should be able to,
Well, who'd be taking their big money? I mean, since Hogan left, it's only really Gaughan, I think, that's going to command a top dollar salary.
Tomlinson, I'd say.
Well, Tomlinson would be taking some cash.
A little bit, but I mean, Viney was, their captain, and they probably put a bit of money into Oliver.
Yeah, Petrarca probably got a fair bit.
They had to get Lever over on big money. They had to get May over.
Yeah, I think May would have left for a bus ticket, though.
Yeah.
He was pretty keen to get out of there. Why would he leave, though?
Exactly, God. isn't it funny? Both the co-captains from Gold Coast the year before left. One won a premiership, the other one 17th.
Yep.
Who made the better decision there? All right. All right, looking towards their draw for next year, or their fixture, their double-ups are Adelaide, Collingwood, Frio, Gold Coast and St Kilda. That's about as generous as they could hope for. But also Melbourne double-up against Collingwood means that they get a home game against Collingwood, which means there's an extra 120 odd grand.
Do they have what's their marquee game?
The Queen's Birthday.
Queen's Birthday, that's right.
The Big Freeze at the G or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I got a feeling Collingwood hosted it last year, which means they host it.
Yep.
Melbourne hosted it this year.
I mean, it's much of a matchup anyway. People still go.
Yeah, but...
I mean, coffers-wise.
Yeah, yeah. Money-wise, it makes a big difference. Who gets to...
Unless they have to donate the whole thing, I don't know.
Well, actually, that's very funny because... not funny, interesting. Because Collingwood, out of the kindness of their hearts, and, choke when you say that, used to let Melbourne host it every single year. Then after about 15 years of that, Collingwood said, how about we have a go?
Yeah.
Let us take the gate receipts for once. You're doing okay now. But anyway, so that they had a bit of a bad financial year this year, but, that happens when you finish 7-8.
Well, they got good accountants.
They got enough of them. Well, speaking of which, do you see Joseph Goodnick's gone bust?
Really?
Yeah, he's gone bankrupt.
Anyway, it's funny, though, you can go bankrupt and yet still have $20 million in assets, a home in Toorak and another holiday home.
No, he is dead broke. His family, however.
Yeah.
All right, so who's in for a big year? Who are we looking for to shine through for Melbourne this year?
I mean, there's no long odds on Gaughan having a good year because he will. He'll have a fantastic fucking year.
Absolutely consistent. So who besides Gaughan is probably the best way to put this?
Definitely Marty Hoare.
You just wanted to say Hoare.
Yep, basically. If anyone's going to slut their way around the field, it's going to be Marty Hoare. But no, I think, we're sick of saying Wiedemann's going to be his big year, I think, aren't we? What's his third year now? Is his third year or second year? Am I getting ahead of myself?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Wiedemann's been consistent, but I mean, Petrarca's the one we've been waiting on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've been waiting too long now.
I think we're waiting for another team for Petrarca.
It's almost what it is.
Yeah. But it seems like he's stuck in between. He's too bulky to play the fast and loose outside.
Yeah.
He's not fast enough to play the inside. And
I think his skills just need a little touch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to overthink it. And maybe that's coming from a team that's under pressure too.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how when a player goes to a new team and they suddenly come good. And part of that's because there's no pressure on them. It's like, I've got a 2-year contract. I'm fucking sorted. I can have fun with footy again.
Yeah.
I think he'd be one of those players. If he ended up at St Kilda, he could be a star.
Maybe. Yeah,
that's just an example team because they're going shithouse.
Yeah, like Josh Kennedy up at Sydney. There's no reason he can't play that exact same game that Josh Kennedy plays.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? And be the distributor. He's got a booming boot too.
Yeah.
Maybe he can sit in the goal square for a little bit.
And I think injuries made him a bit more lumbering than what he originally was, but you can work with that.
Yeah.
I think obviously their glaring holes are in defence. If they've got to have any chance, they need Jack Lever to find his form that he had at the Crows.
Yep.
And because apart from that, they're just going to bleed goals. So it doesn't matter how good their midfield forward line is, they're going to get caught on the rebound.
That's the weird part, though. With their list, defence should be their strong point.
It should be.
Yeah, get rid of Frost and, yeah.
You're going to say, you might have been right, though, because it was the first year for Lever, really, because he did his knee the first year.
Yep.
I think he played one or two games.
Mm-hmm.
May's first year, and he had some off-field shit that he needed to take care of as well.
Yep.
So maybe it is a bit of a clean slate. Okay, here we go. Ed Langdon is going to be that link up and classy ball user out of the back line. So you get those other guys to feed it out to him. You got a bit of run. I think it was what they were missing.
Yep.
So I think that's a good side for him. And I believe Ed Langdon's going to have a good year for him. What about Jack Viney? Because remember, 4 or 5 years ago, he was going to be the next best thing.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be. Quite rightly so. He had amazing form and sort of dropped off. I don't know if he got found out or
broke his foot and really has not recovered.
Probably. Yeah, and Oliver stepped up as well, so there's a little bit more pressure off him. I think you're right. We're saying they've got too many inside mids. They need someone else to be a playmaker, I think.
Well, I think they were looking for Angus Brayshaw to do that too. But since he got full gaffed, really hasn't quite come back the same.
That's his brother.
Oh. Well, since his brother got full gaffed, he hasn't come back the same.
He was Angus is the one that got third in the Brownlow and wasn't invited.
Really?
Yeah, in 2018.
That's right. What about Jaden Hunt? Presents himself up forward. With Petrarca, obviously, not knowing where they're going to play him. Obviously, he got rucking and push up forward.
Actually, I like Jaden Hunt's season.
I was going to say, I did too.
I thought he was the one that...
He has a massive boot on him.
Yeah.
Which is funny, considering he looks like a goalpost.
Yeah.
So I think if he becomes, you know... I mean, he's already prominent last year, but if he becomes unignorable for opposition defence, then I think that probably takes a bit of pressure off Petrarca as well. So I think that could be a key. If he has consistency, you know, game in, game out is what you need. You can't just be once off. Just to always, almost doing what Jack does, Jack Riewoldt, if you have a good game, he's always presenting, pushing the ball down to the small forwards, doing something. And that just breeds...
The big difference with Jack Riewoldt, though, is he can almost be the foil, and you know what? Tommy Lynch can kick goals. Yeah. Dusty Martin can kick goals.
Yep.
They don't have a foil.
No.
They struggled with the McDonald brothers, you know, trying to find somebody to be that big marking forward since they lost Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
And it worked in the previous year. It just, they couldn't find the gel this year.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, with their outs, they got rid of some of their crumbing forwards too.
Yep.
Like, geez, they're handy when you haven't got a nice delivery. So, who's in trouble then? Who's on the chopping block for Melbourne?
Did Nathan Jones get picked up again?
He got one more year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the obvious one, I think.
Which is sad, because I actually like the way he goes about it.
The heart and soul type player.
Yeah.
As everyone says.
And he's, you know, a bit of a hard bastard too.
Of course he is.
And absolutely, they fucking need that, because Petrarca should be the hard bastard, but he just comes across as a bit of a...
He's 22, 23 as well. He's getting to that age, you know, where he should be that guy.
Yep.
But you can't be that guy until you are that guy.
But he's built like a brick shithouse and seems like he hates contact.
Well, and Viney was that type of player as well, until the injury meant that he's never bloody playing.
I mean, the problem with that crash and bash style is that it does take a toll.
Of course it does.
Yeah. And Petrarca he has paid that toll, and it seems like he's afraid of paying it further.
Maybe.
But I think as the years go on, the body sort of hardens to that sort of play style, and that's what they need from him.
Especially if you believe what was reported in the papers, the contract offer to Jones was pretty low. They very much low-balled him.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I get what Jones is sort of coming with, because he's saying, you know, I've shown loyalty to the club.
Yep.
I've been there through the shit times. I've been a leader. I've been the heart and soul of this thing. You know, I think that should be reflected. But footy teams tend to play the loyalty card heavy when they want to keep a player.
Yeah. Mm.
And when they can save a bit of cash, all of a sudden it's like, well, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Always. Yep.
I think if players haven't figured that out yet, then it's kind of on them.
Yeah. One player I hope we can see a bit of is their rookie, Kaiser Pickett.
Mm.
Yep. He looks like he could be that crazy crash and bash.
A little bit of X factor.
Yeah, he plays, being a North Melbourne man, a lot like Cam Zerha.
Yep.
Just a forward that loves the contact.
Yep.
And, geez, they're worth a mint.
Yep.
Mm.
You don't want too much from your rookies.
You don't want to have to depend on that. But if the rookie has the
but if he can chip
no
in.
Pressure, if he can get in there and just have a highlight,
yep.
like have a Wallace-style goal,
yep.
and you're like, fuck, mate, you've paid your first year off.
I know. It's. I was trying to think. There was one team they said, you know, it might have even been, it was Sam Walsh with Carlton. They said, you're going to get flogged, but at least if you see something from that one player, you go, you know what? That's what we saw today.
Yep.
Yeah. If he can be that kind of player, you know, it doesn't matter if he gets 10 touches a week, but he goes, you know what? Jeez, we saw something. That brings the fans along. Yeah.
Shit, yeah. I mean, Essendon last year didn't have a great season, but I'd guarantee you every one of them remembers that late goal from Waller.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, against North, it was one of them.
Motherfucker. Yeah.
What about Simon Goodwin?
I can't even dislike that
bloke. He's the other one I had on the list.
Yep.
I mean, you can't have a top four finish, sign a new deal.
And
I think you should have said that at this top.
Actually, it's January now. Do you reckon he'll sign a new deal in the next couple of weeks?
No. Because I did say, it is a sure sign that you're doing terrible is when you sign the coach to a contract extension before round one.
Yeah.
As soon as
it's
I went,
not oh, move, ever.
You guys, I wish I could change my ladder prediction last year. Yeah. But if they finish bottom four again, you got to struggle to justify.
The thing is, I hope they, if that does happen, wait till the end of the season. Because what we've seen in the past with Melbourne especially, and Carlton of old, is you have four bad games at the start of the season, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, nah, we're sacking our assistant coach, and we're right behind the coach.
Yeah.
And then round eight, it's like, nah, coach has gone too, assistant coach is in. And then next, you know, new game plan, everyone doesn't know what they're fucking doing, and it just ends up being a fucking mess. Paul Roos fixed that by, you know, setting up a plan.
They couldn't afford to sack him because AFL was paying him.
There is that too. And he did sack a few of the back end people too.
Yeah, they needed a board clean out.
Yeah, but Goodwin will be in trouble at some stage of the season.
Yeah,
just no argument there.
Let it go the year.
Let it go the whole year. Tell him, look, mate, you've got until October, but come trade period, if we haven't finished where we want, you might be on your way. Give him that time. Because if he's wondering every week, is the axe going to fall? So will the players, and so will everyone.
And it makes matters worse. It just piles on once you start with that mentality. We've seen that time and time again. You know, and then a change of coach, you can give you a 2 or 3 week boost even, but you know, it's not the long term, and it's the way the Melbourne used to be.
Yeah.
All right, so where do we see Melbourne finishing next year? So they were 17th and 5 wins this year. Josh, where have you got them next year?
To be honest, I completely forgot. I have them 16th.
So that's still a bottom four finish.
Yeah, I think I've got them above Freo on Gold Coast, but still not in good territory there.
No, you don't have them above Freo.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Sorry, so you've got them in...
I've got them in 16th as well.
16th. What do you know? All three of us are picking them to finish 16th. So that is a bottom four finish. But still an improvement
from
the previous year. Yeah. But if they do finish 16th, I can't justify another season of Goodwin.
I think the meat is going to be hot on their tail from round one, especially if there's not much else happening around the league. That could be the worst thing for them.
Part of the reason I put him so low is because I put him so high last year.
Shit?
Yeah.
I think I had a top three. And they let me down. So I'm underrating you this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people could be doing that.
And their list is a top 10 list.
But it's not that different. It is a better list than it was last year, but it's not that different. So there has to be something that's changed in the off-season for them to click, and there is every chance that could happen.
Well, I think that's true. I think there's 14 teams that could legitimately demand finals as part of their expectations. Yep. Unfortunately, only 8 go through.
That's it.
But Melbourne's one team that should be in the finals.
Yep, but none of us are picking them to get there.
No.
All right, that'll do us.
Yep. Right. Have a good one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.